Okay, Shalom Uvracha. Welcome back to our Thursday morning Shia at the Young Israel Vodmir. We are in Chodesh Adar Bet. Actually, 1 week away from Tainis Esther. I said in a few classes, what do you call a nidcha that's earlier? It's not a pushed off fast, I'm not sure. But anyway, next Thursday, Be'ezer Hashem, while we should be with all in Eretz Yisrael with Mashiach, but if chas v'shalom, in case not, we will have a Tainis Esther shiur here next Thursday. So we're just a week and a little away from the festival and the Yom Tov of Purim. So we're going to talk about Esther Hamalka today. You're probably thinking, thank God she's not talking about Mem. An online listener, someone who listens online, she emailed me. She lives in a different city. And she said, or I messaged, I don't remember, she said, do you think all the other letters are jealous of all the attention that the Mem is getting? So I said to her, it's not a joke. We could do a whole series on the Aleph Beis. So she said, that would be so fascinating. She said, you have to do 2 years of each, you know, not 2 years each, 2 years. But she said, you're not allowed to interrupt and no tangents. So like just Aleph, then Beis, then Gimel. So I don't know, it's pretty cool. It's amazing. Okay, so we spoke last time about how in the end of days, Hashem's Hester Panim, we're in such times where, like in the Megillah, Hashem's face was hidden. The Gemara tells us clearly, I told you last time, Maseches Chulin 139b, Esther min HaTorah minayin, Anochi Esther, Esther Panay mikem bayamahu. So the Megillah represents a time of Hester Panim, a time when Hashem was concealed from the people. His name is never listed at all in the entire book, which is so unusual for one of the Sifrei Tanakh, and it represents this time of concealment from the people. But as with Hashem, in the end of days, that veil will be lifted, and we will be able to see clearly, and we will be reunited with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This year is based a lot on the teachings and the thought of Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, the Rav Zatzal. The Pasuk tells us in the beginning of the Megillah, in Esther Perek Beis, Pasuk Tesvav, Vati Esther Nosei Chein Ve'enei Kol Ro'eha. Esther had the unusual midah, like Yosef HaTzadik, of Chein. Of this, it is very hard to translate into English. There's no real English translation. Noach had chein, Yosef had a chein, Esther had a sense of chein. Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, the Rav, explains about Queen Esther as follows. And Esther carried grace in the eyes of all who saw her. The Hebrew word chein, or grace, refers to the attribute of charm, in contradistinction to beauty. So is chein something that is objectively, externally beautiful? Or is chein something that is an internal beauty, an internal grace? And there is no one-to-one correlation necessary between external. There is no one-to-one correlation between external beauty. You could have someone who's objectively maybe a very striking or handsome or beautiful, physically symmetrical person, but inside they could be a rotten and corrupt and disgusting, evil person. So there is no one-to-one correlation. The Hebrew word chein. Now, of course, Esther had an internal beauty when all the women were sitting. Shisha chadashim b'shemen hamor v'shisha chadashim v'tamruke nafshim. I mean, how long does it take to put on makeup and perfume? 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. If you have a simcha, fine. 40 minutes from the makeup artist. 1 year. And then perfume or body lotion that's scented. How long does that take? 6 months in the spices, 6 months in the perfume, 6 months in the makeup. It's not possible to understand. It's actually not possible to understand. And Esther didn't want anything. She wanted to look as plain as possible. All these other maidens were asking for perfumes and spices and oils and dyes and makeup, and she wanted nothing. We were in Los Angeles. I was zocha to see some of your children. So this is very cute. This is the second time this has happened to me. On Shabbos, Someone said to me Shabbos morning, I don't touch my makeup, and I don't have permission to use Shabbos makeup, so I don't do anything on Shabbos. So someone says to me Shabbos day, can I ask you a question? What makeup do you use? I promise. How does it stay like that? She's the second person who has ever done said that to me. And then she followed up with an email. She was being very serious when I got home. She said, could you please tell me exactly what you do? And how does your makeup stay so well on Shabbos? Esther wanted nothing. While beauty is usually a result of a combination of several physical factors, of external features, that's beauty, charm, which he's talking about, chayin. Charm or chayin comes within, comes from within. It flows from the deepest recesses of the spiritual personality. Charm, chayin, is engendered by the presence of God in a human being. Chayin is engendered by the presence of God in a human being. It is the reflection of the divine presence within man. That's what was so attractive about Esther. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina radiated from within her. And this, like Yosef HaTzadik, Shem Shemayim Shagar Befiv, Ayar Shem Ki Adonavi Tov, Perek Lametes Pasuk Gimel, what does Rashi say there? Shem Shemayim Shagar Befiv. And the Medrash says, no matter what Yosef was doing, he was always whispering, he was mumbling. If Paro wanted the, Potiphar wanted the water hot, Yosef would mumble, it would be warm. If he wanted it cold, it would be cold. Yosef was always davening. Shem Shemayim Shagar Befiv, and he had this sense of chayin, and the master sees that Hashem is with him. It becomes apparent. It's such a spiritual depth that it becomes externally apparent, spiritually. Charm or chayin is engendered by the presence of God in the human being. It is the reflection of the divine presence within man. One radiates chayin, for the image of God is the source of charm. The symmetry of the body, the complexion, the color of the eyes, these are all irrelevant to the charm hyphen personality. The external beauty is completely irrelevant to the person who is filled with grace, and grace is the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is important is the divine in man. And now he mentions Yosef HaTzadik. The two clauses, the Lord was with Joseph, Hashem was with Yosef, and Yosef found grace in his master's eyes, constitute an equation. Yosef found grace in Potiphar's eyes because Hashem was with him. The same is true of Esther. She carried herself with grace with everyone around her because God is with her. You know, it's interesting. Both Yosef and Esther come from Rachel. The Torah does not tell us that Rachel had chayin. Esther comes from Binyamin, like her paternal uncle Mordechai. Binyamin is a child of Esther, and Yosef is Binyamin is a child of Rachel, an ancestor of Esther, and Yosef is a child of Rachel. So it's very, very interesting that these descendants both were enamored with this sense of chayin, with the sense of godliness within. And we know that Rachel, what a tzaddikah she was, what a tzanua she was, what a vatran she was, and what a heroic woman Rachel was. The same is true of Esther. She carried grace with everyone because God was with her. She fascinated. She had an impact around everyone that she met. There was something different about her. She was unique. People understood she was peculiar, not in a weird way, in a fascinating and compelling way. In light of this, we can understand a strange verse, says Rav Soloveitchik. Esther says to Mordechai, Al tochu v'al tishlu shoshes yamim, laila v'yam, gamani v'nao tzaya, tzum kein, do not eat and do not drink for 3 days. This is in Perek Daleth. After he says, listen, you're either going to the king or you're disappearing into the mist of history. This is your moment in the limelight. She agrees to her mission and she says, do not eat and do not drink for 3 days, day and night. I and my maidens shall fast as well. And v'chein v'chein avol ha-melech. And like this, I will come to the king. Why did Esther fast, says the Rav, for 72 hours? The fast could have had fatal results. Here she was, ready to commit a crime, to violate the royal law. What's the royal law? What's the crime? We forget that when she's going to the king, it's against the law. Everybody knows, Esther says to Mordechai, that anyone who enters the royal chamber, if he was not called, there's one law. Unless the king sticks out his royal scepter, what's the law? Lahamis. Death. So she's about to commit a crime. Her hope rested on the fact that the king, who was fascinated in love with her, would hold out the golden scepter for her. She should have concentrated, therefore, on one aspect: to be as lovely and as physically attractive as possible. A fast of 72 continuous hours is hardly helpful to one's fair looks. Instead, during the last 3 days, she should have taken care of herself. She should have undergone beauty treatments. She should have planned a proper diet. This is the rough. Yet she did not do so. Why? Esther's attraction was not due to external beauty. It was due to an inner strength. It was due to charm, to the divine charisma within her. Things that a God-focused fast and fervent prayers might actually improve and enhance. So since she was a spiritual person, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu was deep inside of her, therefore a God-focused fast, not fasting but you think about 100 other things, not fasting while you're watching a Hollywood movie, not fasting while you're doing anything but focusing on Avinu Malkeinu and the Tainis, a God-focused fast and fervent prayer might actually improve and enhance her appearance. Why? Because she's enhancing her ruchnius. And her ruchnius is the source of her chayin, not her gashmius. How wonderfully did the sages say the Gemara Maseches Megillah, Vatilbash Esther Malchus, that's not the sages of Maseches Megillah, Vatilbash Esther Malchus is 5:1 in the Megillah, Esther dons royalty after 3 days of fasting. What does it mean, says the Gemara? She was garbed in Ruach HaKodesh. Atelbash Esther Malchus, and she gets dressed to go into the inner chambers, to the courtyard of the king. The Gemara says she was donned in Ruach HaKodesh, divine spirit, divine inspiration. On the third day, Esther arose from her ashes and her sackcloth. She dressed herself in royal garments. She was inspired. She became an exalted personality. She was wrapped in divine inspiration. She was powerful. She captivated everyone's imagination, says the Rav. She's a truly heroic woman. She is one of the heroic women in Klal Yisrael, and her strength came not because she was externally focused, but rather she was internally focused, and she understood really Vasuli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Socham, that even in the absence of the physical structure of the Beit HaMikdash, which she and her family lived through the Korban, nevertheless she understood that a person can become an abode where HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells inside. And this is the source of chayin. In regard to her being selected as the shaliach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who affects everything that happens in this world. Hashem is echad. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses shlichim so that his role will be done. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responsible for Yitzhiyah Mitzrayim, but Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron were the shlichim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responsible for Kriyas Yamsuf, but Moshe is the shaliach. So in the case of the Purim narrative, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who was behind the scenes, Hester Panim, is of course the one who saved the Jews, who saved the nation, but Esther and Mordechai were chosen as the agents of this divine mission. It's so interesting. By the way, someone here asked me, who asked me, the 18,500 Jews, yeah, I just saw it. I don't remember where I saw it. Thank you. That was only the Jews in Shushan. That 18th, we quoted last week, Medrash Esther Rabbah 7:13. Yeah, you asked me after Shir. That was just, I forget where I read it. I just read it after, and I remembered paying attention because I know we just discussed it. That was only the Jews from Shushan, not from the all other 127 provinces. So we're talking about a very, very large number. And it's so interesting to consider, how many names do you know of Jews from this time period in history? In the story of the Megillah, you know two names, Esther and Mordechai. But there were tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of Jews. Providence selected, says the Rav, as divine agent, not only Mordechai, but Esther as well. God willed that both male and female appear as actors on the historical stage. Judaism has never discriminated, says the Rav, against women. From the days of Sarah The woman was on par with the man as history maker. In fact, at one place in Bereshis, Rashi actually tells us, Kosha Tamar Lechasar Shema Bekola, and Rashi actually says that Avram was tafel to Sarah Nevuah, that Sarah had a higher degree of Nevuah even than Avram did. From the days of Sarah, the woman was on par with man as a history maker. Both Mordechai and Esther were created in the image of God. Both were endowed with dignity and majesty. Both possessed great talent, and both were called on to serve. Both Mordechai and Esther were called on to make history. They were the divine agents as a team, really, working together. God assigned equally important roles to Mordechai and Esther. They were both metaphysically and spiritually worthy of the task. And I think that that's very important, especially today, in a day and age in which we live, when sometimes so many platforms, lo aleinu, are agenda-driven and not necessarily lito'elas for shem shamayim. It's important for us to remember that Judaism holds the woman in very high regard. She has an extremely important role. If Shimshon Pinkus writes in the Sefer, it was published after he was coming up to Zirtzeit, Erev Pasach, after he was Nifter, probably close to 20 years ago. But he says the Jewish woman is the most important asset in Klal Yisrael. He said, I don't know how this would happen, but if the father's the God of Hadar and the mother's not Jewish, the child is not a Jew. A woman is the most important asset in Klal Yisrael. Through her, Klal Yisrael continues. Parshas Vayakel, B'maros HaTzavu, so Shar Savu, Dayas HaSekir Nechoshas, Eschanu Nechoshas, B'maros HaTzavu, so Shar Tzavu, Pesach O Moed. It is the women who are responsible for the continuity, the destiny, the courage, and the heroism of Klal Yisrael. And this is all represented in Queen Esther and Esther Hamalka. And when she accepts her assigned role, and she instructs Mordechai to gather all the Jews and fast, and me and my maidens will fast as well. Avayavar Mordechai, Vayas Kuchol Asher Tzivta Alav Esther. Rav Salvechik says that's a turning point. It's the last Pasuk in Perek Dalet. Until then, Mordechai is instructing Esther what to do. After that point, Esther is instructing Mordechai. The beginning of the Megillah is Esther listening to Mordechai. And when she accepts her role, says the Rav, you note the Lashon of the Pasuk, and Mordechai went, and he did everything Esther commanded him to do. And the next words are, Vatilbash Esther Malchus. From that point on, Esther is really the lead shaliach, of course, working hand in hand. And the Rav says, they were both created in the image of God. They were both endowed with dignity and majesty. They both possessed great talent. And it's so important for us to remember that the Jewish woman is very beloved in Yehadus, and she is beloved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and she has her distinct role, and the man has his distinct role, and together they work as history makers to create the destiny and be the shlichim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another very interesting thing happened when I was in LA. Someone came over to me after Shabbos morning. I gave two shiurim, pre-davening chumash shiur, and then after Musaf, the drasha, after davening was over. So the drasha I spoke about, I connected the three happenings of Shabbos. It was Parshas Vayakel, it was Parshas Shkalim, and it was also Shabbos Mevarchim Adar. So I spoke about unity in Klal Yisrael with something from each. Where do we see it? By the Mishkan, the importance of embracing all Jews. I'm not going to go into everything I spoke about because it'll take 20 minutes and then we won't finish today's shiur. I spoke about Parsha Shkalim and I spoke about an insight that just occurred to me when I was there on Shabbos Mevarchim. And I connected and I spoke about the idea that all of Israel guarantors for another, we make up on one nation, etc. So someone came over to me after and she says, you know, my mother's visiting and she says she has not been here in months. And she's visiting. First of all, she says she could not believe that the shul had a female speaker. She said she's conservative. Did I say that part? Oh. Her mother's a conservative Jew. She hasn't been here for months. And she always has the impression, she said, the mother has the impression that Orthodoxy discriminates against women. She said, so she could not believe, first of all, that here in this Orthodox shul, they had a woman speaker. She said, and then you got up and you spoke all about Ahavas Yisrael and unity, how all Jews complete each other, how we're all one. And she said she felt so moved. She really felt like you were speaking to her. So I said, okay, Baruch Hashem, maybe the whole reason I came here is to inspire your mother. I don't know. Rabbi Soloveitchik says that from the days of Sarah, the woman was on par. We should never think, chas v'shalom, that just because men and women have different roles, that's how Kosh Baruch Hu created us. It does not mean that one is inferior to the other. And we see from the Megillah a beautiful illustration of this. As a team, man and woman, male, female, Mordechai and Esther, work together to effect the divine redemption as shlichim of a Kosh Baruch Hu. So for those who nodded that they're happy and finished with mem, sorry, I'm not. I'm not really sorry, because it just shows you how deep Torah is. It's not a whole shira mem, but I want to point something out. Last time we spoke about the fact that the story of Purim is very mem-focused. Mordechai is an open mem. Purim is an ender mem. Arba mitzvos hayom, which is unbelievable. Mikra Megillah, we spoke about why two open mems. Mishta, one open mem. Matanos Lavionim, open and closed. And Mishloach Manos. I mean, you can't make these things up. I didn't bring it up last week and I didn't have time to get to it. But I was already very bothered by the fact that Esther does not have a mem. I don't know if anybody thought about it. But why, after all we have spoken about, doesn't Esther's name have a mem? So I don't know. Well, now I'm going to propose something. But I didn't know. Remember I told you last week's shir was first sparked when I was half listening to shir on a fast walk. And I all of a sudden thought to myself, wow, the four mitzvahs of the day will start with mem. So I thought of that a week before I presented it. And then I was already thinking about these connections. And then I thought, why isn't Esther's name with a mem? So that Shabbos, this is such a shkacha. That Shabbos, my boys were leaving the house. And we're on the porch. I'm escorting them out. And one of them says, I forgot to say the Dvar Torah at the Shabbos table at lunch. I said, okay. So he says, I didn't tell him about my ha'ara, my fast walk, and mem, and purim, and the arba mitzvos, and Mordechai, mem sofis, purim. He says, I forgot to say, it was like at the last, you know, like the 10th hour, what's the expression? When something happens, like at the last minute. So one of them says, I didn't say my Dvar Torah on the Shabbos. It was after the lunch, the Uda. I said, okay. He says, the Gemara says that Mem and Samech in the Aseres HaDibros are floating. They float by Nes. So right away, I thought, this is not an accident. I'm wondering why there's no Mem in Esther. To me, and I'm going to tell you why, Esther symbolized by the Samech. And then he says, I forgot to say Medvar Torah. As he's almost down the front porch stairs, he says, Mem and Samech and the Aseres HaDibros float by a miracle. And then he told me the rest of the Dvar Torah, which I'm going to tell you. I said, I came back inside. I was sitting by the island going like this. So my kids inside are like, Mommy, what's wrong? Are you okay? And I said, I couldn't believe what he just said. So here we go. First of all, why do I think Esther is Samech? She has two names. She doesn't have one name. The Pasuk tells us in the Megillah Perek Beis, Pasuk Zayin, about Esther, Vayihi Omein Es Hadasa, Hi Esther, Basto Do Ki Eino Avim. And he, Mordechai, raised Hadasa. She is Esther. She is his niece. She does not have a father and a mother. Vanara Yifat Toar V'tova Mara. By the way, just like Yosef, Yosef was also Yifei Toar. Yosef was also pleasing appearance, but he had a chayin, so she also too had a pleasing appearance and a chayin. Ovemot Aviyah V'imel Lokecha Mordechai Lo Levad. And when her mother and her father died, presumably with the exile of Galus Yerushalayim, Mordechai adopted her, and ultimately he married her. Atzikri the Bas Elalabais. But the point is that she is known as Hadasa. Her personality is Esther. Her personality is that she is a hidden woman. But her name is really Hadasa. Vayihi Omein Es Hadasa. He Esther. Her name is Hadasa. Her essence is a hidden personality. And because the Megillah is so focused on aspects of things that are hidden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hidden, Esther is hidden, the identity is hidden, the salvation is hidden. We refer to her as Esther, but her name is really Hadasa. The common denominator, obviously, in both of these names is the Samech. Samech stands for Somech Hashem L'chol HaNoflim V'Zokeif L'chol HaKafuvim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Somech Hashem. He is the one who upholds and supports the Chol HaNoflim, all those who have fallen. Esther had a terrible fall when she was chosen to be taken to the king's palace. This was not an exciting moment in Jewish history. This was a terrible, terrible tragedy. Achashverosh was completely perverse, cruel, tyrannical, rash. He was a very bad person. The Megillah tells us that after a year in the perfumes and the oils and the makeups, they would go to Achashverosh. I think it's so important for us to remember this. But Erev he ba'ah, ubaboker he shavah, el beis hanashim. And if Achashverosh liked her, she was called a second time. They didn't stand on the stage and say poetry. She went to the palace at night, and she went back to the harem of the woman in the morning. He was a very sick person. And she resisted any perfumes and any makeup. She didn't. It was a horror that she was chosen. So mei Hashem the Chol HaNoflim. It was a terrible person in Ophila for her and Mordechai. Of course, Hashem was orchestrated. She should be in place to be the shlicha to save Am Yisrael. Hashem supports all those who are fallen. Esther to me is represented in the Samech. So, like Mem, Samech is closed on all sides. In fact, I looked up the Gemara, and the Gemara says there, I'm going to tell you where, that a scribe has to be very careful in writing a Mem and a Samech, because in fact they are so similar. So he has to make sure. There, the Gemara on this daf is speaking all about letters, the Lashon HaKodesh letters. So by the way, it's not just us who's very fascinated and taken with the letters. There is real MS to this. That a scribe has to be very careful when he writes the Mem and the Samech, because it's easy to confuse the Mem and the Samech since they are so similar. Obviously, we're talking about the Enzer Mem and the Samech. So, like Mem, Samech, the letter of Esther, is closed on all sides. Furthermore, they both share a unique and elevated status. So I looked up the Gemara that my son was referring to, and here we go. I'm going to quote it for you. It's from Masechet Shabbos, Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Da Amar Rav Chista, Rav Chista says, Mem v'samich shebaluchos b'neis hayu omdin. So the Gemara is fascinated as well with the structure and the messages and the shapes of the Hebrew Aleph Beis. And the Gemara says that Rav Chista says, Mem and Samich in the Luchos were held in place by miracle. I'm going to quote the Lashon again. Mem v'samich shebaluchos b'neis hayu omdim. I'm going to quote the Art Scroll footnote to this Gemara. Masechet Shabbos 104a. The Art Scroll footnote on this teaching of Rav Chista says as follows. The letters on the tablets, the letters on the luchos, were miraculous. They penetrated the entire thickness of the tablet. So if you take, I don't know, a piece of stone, and you carve a letter, like the Avnei Shohem and the Avnei Miluim, okay? So you're just carving a letter. You didn't crack through the whole stone of the Avnei Shohem and the Avnei Miluim, this week's Parsha Pekudei. You inscribe them with the names of the tribes of Israel. But if you look at the back, what are you going to see? It's a stone. You engraved into the stone some letters. When it came to the luchos, which were hamichtav, michtav elokim, charos ala luchos, they were engraved and carved by God, not basar v'dam. It was miraculous because the letters on the luchos penetrated the entire thickness of the tablet. So mizel, mizeheim ksuvim. If you looked at it from this side, you were going to see the letters. And if you looked at it from this side, you're also going to, if you look at it from this side, it's going to say, no chesham al kecha. If you look at it from this side, what's it going to say? It's not going to be the piece of a blank stone. What's it going to be in the back? Engrave, mizeh, u'mizeh, heim ksuvim, charos ala luchos. The letters engraved on the tablets, according to the article for note, penetrated the entire thickness of the tablets. Since that, why does the Gemara explain that Samech and Mem, Samech and Mem Sofis. By the way, we're talking about Mem Sofis, not regular Mem, okay? And I already told you that the Gemara earlier might be on one daf before. I was looking through it. Yeah, it is. It's on one daf before. It's Kuf Gimel. Says that You have to be very careful, a scribe, when he writes a mem and a samech, because it's easy to confuse them. We're obviously talking about an ender mem, a final mem, a mem sophis, which looks like a samech. Since the letter samech and final mem are completely closed, the closed sections of the stone in the center were unattached, think of what I'm saying, to the body of the tablets. Do you understand if this is a mem or a samech? So it's completely closed. So now, since it's written all the way through, what should happen to the piece of stone, the circle of stone, a donut hole, a havdil, excuse me. What happens if you take a whole thing and you puncture a hole all the way through? The piece of dough, la havdil, billion havdalos, what's going to happen to the piece of dough? You just push the hole in it. Unless you're a miracle worker, what's going to happen because of the force of gravity? It's going to fall down. Now you're going to have a donut hole. I don't think today that's how they make donuts with machines. Well, Amaisa, that's what would happen. So now think again. Since the luchos are engraved all the way through, if you have a full circle, now you have to read it as a letter. So there's space in the middle. So what happens to the dot? It shouldn't be there anymore. Oh, that piece was held in place by a niece. Da'amar Rav Chista, men v'samach shabaluchos b'neis hayu amdim. Again, Shabbos Kuf Dalet Amar Aleph. The sections of the stones in the center were unattached to the body of the tablets and could only have remained in place by means of a miracle. The Gemara goes on to attempt to show, this is very interesting, especially since we've been speaking for a month about mem, that the original form of the letter mem was only in one form. The Gemara then goes on to discuss that initially mem was only closed. The open mem was a later addition or innovation. Historically when? I don't know. But isn't that interesting? Additionally, everything was written like what we call a final mem. So, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim. Me'aretz Mitzrayim would have been started with a final mem. So all the mems in the Aseres HaDibros were by miracle. Since Rav Chista stated that the mem in the tablets required a nace to stay in place, it must obviously be that the original form was the closed mem. If all the mems were a miracle, and the Gemara writes out mem, 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 there's an ace. The middle of the open mem would not have required a miracle to stay in place. If it was an open or initial mem, it wouldn't have needed an ace, because it's one piece. The mem sophis, what we call mem sophis, and the samich needed an ace. Okay. So this has to do something with everything that we're speaking about, because we see that the mem in the Aseres HaDibros was held in place by a miracle. And we've already seen that mem is a very powerful and unusual letter and has a huge role in the Purim story. And now we're learning that samich is on par with mem. The shape, number one, is very, very similar, almost identical, to the point where the Gemara says the scribe has to be very careful not to confuse the two. Secondly, these are the only two letters in the Dibros that were held in place by a miracle, anis. Thirdly, mem represents the story of Purim for many aspects, except that Esther, he, Hadassah, he, Esther, the only common denominator in those two names is the samech, and she is the woman who is Someh Hashem, the Chol Noflim. She truly had a terrible knafila. It was a horrific pachad that this awful, horrible, tyrannical, evil, ruthless king took her. Achashverosh was not a good guy. The first Rashi to the Megillah. Not the first Rashi, but it's Rashi's parak, I'll pasuk off. So we know nothing in Tanakh is an accident. So why does it say he was in the days of Achashverosh, he is Achashverosh? That's repetitive. Right? Yes? You don't need that. So just say, so then you're going to know. Achashverosh is the king. He's ruling over 127 provinces. It shouldn't say it was in the days of Achashverosh, he was Achashverosh. Don't we already know, I say 1,000 times, that nothing in Tanakh is superfluous. Nothing in Tanakh is an accident. So what do we learn from the fact that who Achashverosh? Rashi says on the Megillah, to Parak Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, who birish oso, mitchiloso v'ad sofo. He was a Rasha from beginning to end. But since, when the Megillah ends, she's still married to him, and Mordechai becomes Mishneh LeMelech, they can't put in the Megillah that Achashverosh is a tyrannical, ruthless, crazed ruler, because what would happen? That wouldn't exactly be a salvation. Maybe he'll say once again, kill all the Jews. So it's cloaked, pun intended. It's cloaked in terms that you should understand. The Gemara tells us, when Haman offers 10,000 talents of silver to kill the Jews, Perek Gimel, Achashverosh is not interested in the money. What king is not interested in boosting the royal treasury by 10,000 talents silver kesef? That's a lot of money, especially before the days of inflation. I mean, in 2,600 years ago, that's a fortune. HaKesef nasun lach, va'am lasopo katob beinecha. You're doing me a favor, the Gemara explains. Keep the money. I don't even want the money. Here's the signet ring. Do whatever you want to the people. She is Someich Hashem l'chol anoflim, because she really had a terrible personal nefiyah, but she was upheld only like we saw by the Rav. What endowed her with her charisma? What made her who she was? What gave her chayin? Nothing external. It was only what gave her a chayin, the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu within, the divine image within. Okay, so this is the rest of my son's Dvar Torah. So he sat on the porch. The whole thing took him 2 minutes, but I was like, whoa. He says, Mem and Samech in the Aseres HaDibros are floating. Okay? And then he says, by the brachos of Yaakov, I'm just going to tell it to you so you know what I'm talking about. Okay? When Yaakov Avinu gives his children brachos before he dies, it's in Parak Mem Tes of Bereishis, Birkas Yaakov. He blesses Yisachar. Now, what does the tribe of Yisachar represent? We know. What does the tribe of Yisachar represent? What? Torah. Okay? Zevulun's going sailing on ships. And Yisachar is, Yodea Itim. Sun, moon, Rosh Chodesh. Yisachar is the tribe of Torah. So listen to the bracha that by the way, my son told me that this is from the Sefer called Mimeged Givas Olam. Okay. Yaakov Avinu says to Yisachar, the tribe of Torah. It's in Parak Mem Tes, Psukim Yud Dalet through Tesvav, for your reference, Abereishis. Yisachar, does anyone know what's Yisachar? What's Yisachar's animal? What's he compared to? What? Very, very nice. Yisachar Chamor Garem Roveitz Bein Mishpasayim. Yisachar is a strong-boned donkey. Now, when you think of a donkey, what do you usually think? I don't know. A donkey what?
Carries.
What did you say? I can't hear. It's okay. What? Stubborn, but also it's an animal used for carrying. Petar Pidyan Chamar, the donkeys, when the Jews left Egypt, were loaded up with their wares and helped the Jews leave Egypt. Donkeys are used for carrying heavy loads. When we were in Eretz Yisrael, the summer of 2019, I can't believe it, long time ago, for my boys' bar mitzvah trip, we went jeeping in Midbar Yehuda. I think I've told you that before. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. So not like me. I've become more of a spontaneous person in our later decades. Anyway, so we ended up by an oasis in the Midbar. Unbelievable oasis. Trees and a river and a pool. It was just amazing. And there was a Bedouin woman there with her like teenage daughter and son. And they had two donkeys. And the side of the donkey had empty detergent. You know the big jumbo detergent containers from like Kirkland, the big ones? The donkey had one on each side. I mean, you're in the oasis, in the desert. The Bedouins are swimming in this pool. They're transporting by donkey. But what are they transporting? Detergent containers from Kirkland. Fine. What's wrong with this picture? But they had these. Each donkey was loaded up with these two heavy containers on the side. Donkeys are used for carrying loads. So what load is Yisachar carrying? We said the load of Torah. Torah is a burden that needs to be carried. Sometimes the halacha is not in tandem with what you want. But nevertheless, what do you have to do? Keep the halacha. Yisachar chamor garem. Yisachar is a strong bone donkey. Roveitz bein hamishpasayim, crouching between the boundaries. Vayar menucha kitov. He saw rest that it was good. Ve'es ha'aretz kina'ema, and the land that it was pleasant. Vayeshichmol lisbol. He bent his shoulder to bear. Vayehi lemas oved. How do you spell lemas? Ah. So if you think Michal Hartz was a little crazy because I was going so into the mem, I wasn't. Vayehi lemas oved. Mas is like the word attacks, like tax. That's exactly right. Sorry, Vayesimo of sorry misim lahavdil lamananoso b'sivlosam. And he was like a taxed laborer. How do you spell labas? Mem samich. Wow. What are the miraculous letters in the Sarasa Dibros? Mem samich. In a sense, they're weightless. Because what are they floating on? Miracle. So Rav Gedalia Shor says, 1910 to 1979, first, he went to learn in Europe. He was for a time Rosh Hashiva Tor Vadas. Rav Gedalia Shor says, Vayihi Lamas Oyved, this refers to the Mem and the Samich and the Aseres HaDibros. Why? If a person feels, because Yisachar is the tribe of Torah, what are the Aseres HaDibros? Torah. Lamas Oved refers to, it's not a tax of being a servant, you're not being taxed, you're carrying the Mem and the Samech. Or I should say, the Mem and the Samech carry you. Rav Gedalia, I did not see the Sefer inside, I'm quoting my son who taught this to me, it's from the Sefer Mimeged Givos Olam, who quotes the Gemara Masechah Shabbos, that Mem and Samech floated by Nis, who quotes the Psukim from Birkas Yaakov, Yisachar is the tribe of Torah. The Luchos are not only represent Torah, they are Torah. And then of Gedalia Shor says, Vayihi lachmas oved. If a person feels that Torah is a heavy burden to carry, lamas, just like the mem and the samich float by nes, they are weightless, the Torah is weightless, and it will carry you. If a person feels that Torah is a burden, they have to know, first of all, the more Torah you learn and the more Torah you live, the more you realize how miraculous it is and how weightless you are. And not really are we carrying the Torah, but vice versa, the Torah is carrying us. As represented in the tribe of Yisachar, whose koch is lemas, because if you're bearing your shoulder to bear a heavy burden, the mem and the samich flow, and they carry you on forward and upward, because they're bainis. So mem equals Mordechai. Hadassah, he, Esther is the letter of Samech. They're both closed letters. So now we can fit Esther into our whole limud of how does Hadassah, he, Esther, fit into our understanding of the Megillah seen through the lens of Mem. She's the complementary letter to the Mem. Mordechai is the Mem, and she is the Samech. And together, those two letters are the miracle of Torah, which carries Kaisra. And that's exactly what they did. They brought back Torah to Kaisra. All the other Jews, the Gemara speaks about the Medrash, we quoted last time. Remember, they all went to the party, and Mordechai screaming. We quoted it last week. Don't go to the party. Haman only wants to have Kategor against you in Shemayim. And then remember, Hashem said, bring me a scroll. We learned it last week, Medrash Rabbah 7:13. What did Hashem write in the scroll? Kliya. What did Hashem write? Destruction. Who saved Kal Yisrael as the Shlichim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Esther and Mordechai. Hadassah, he Esther and Mordechai. The two miraculous letters of Torah that are weightless and float and carry themselves, even when we think Torah is a burden, and you're bending your shoulder to bear a burden, really Torah carries you. Sometimes the halacha is not how you want. You might think it's a burden. I'll tell you an interesting shayla, an interesting example. This just happened this week. It's related to Purim. It's not something that I've said since October the 7th, but for the purposes of teaching and just making us aware that sometimes we think we're carrying Torah, but it's really carrying us. I'm going to share this. I really haven't said it since. I didn't even tell my family since the shayla came up, but now I'm going to say. Now everyone's going to hear. After October 7th, and it's going to make sound wrong, so I'm going to clarify. After October 7th, One of the Kabbalos I took upon myself was not to drink wine during the week. Why does that sound wrong? What do I mean by that? From the bottle of wine that we had on Shabbos, if there was any left. So Sunday night, my husband and I would have a glass of wine. If we ever went out to eat, which I think happened once or twice since October 7th, we would order a glass of wine. Just 3 weeks ago, we quickly, before my night share, went out to eat. And the waiter said, do you want a drink? I just said, no, thank you. Okay, they make an answer to something I took upon myself. Ein simcha el babasar, ein simcha el b'yayin. The yayin yisamach. We said in Baruch Hinaf, Shem Rosh Chodesh. The yayin yisamach levav enosh. Yayin gladdens the heart of man. So one of the things I said, but I didn't take upon myself on Shabbos. Because Shabbos, we're not allowed to mourn. We're not allowed to be sad. We're not allowed to have avelas. So you can't diminish Shabbos. When I took this upon myself, who knows how long the war, Rachmana Litzlan Hashem Yerachim, is going to be. So I realized Purim's coming. And Purim's during the week. So I asked Rabbi Schechter 3 shaylas this week. This was the third one. So it's not as poshut as you might think initially. This is very interesting. 1 second. This is very interesting. Now, if it wasn't going to be mutter, I wouldn't have drunk wine. Now, do I enjoy having a glass of wine at the Purim Suda? Yes. So when I first asked Rabbi Schechter, he said, I will check again, but I believe Purim would not be included. Okay. The next day, I said to him, I asked him another shayla, 4th shayla, and then I said, read the wine. I took upon myself for during the week, but Doth could not on Shabbos because of Onik Shabbos. And I'm showing this, I'm sharing this, not because I want you to know my Kabbalah, because it's so important for us to remember that halacha dictates every aspect of our lives. We can never assume something. We can assume. We have to turn to those who carry the Torah for us. Today we don't know what tribe we're from. And okay, if I can have, then I can have. Do I want to have a glass of wine at the Suda? But my husband want to know what's going on. If I'm not drinking wine at the Suda, probably at that point I probably would have just told him. But I said to Rabbi Schechter, Davka not on Shabbos because of Onik Shabbos and not showing signs of mourning on Shabbos. Would the same not apply to Purim because of Simchas Hayom and Mitzvah Su'uda for drinking a glass? His reply, it turns out it's a real Shaila in the Ridbaz. Rav Schechter said he has to look into it a little bit. Meaning Rav Hirsch or Schechter Shlita. So I said, okay, I really got myself into a situation here. Anyway, yesterday he forwarded to me a voice note from Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz, who spoke to Rav Hirsch Schechter. If you normally drink wine on Purim, she doesn't need to do Hataras Nedarim because it's considered Yom Tov. And since when she took upon herself that it wasn't for Shabbos and it wasn't for Yom Tov, if she normally has wine on Purim, like you're not using it as an excuse to get out of this neder you took upon yourself, then it's okay and she doesn't need Hataras Nedarim. It's very interesting. Halacha has to govern everything that we do. You have to bend your shoulder, you have to crouch, and that's an easy shaila. Fine, so what would have happened if I wouldn't have wine? Maybe the Yetzer would have said, have wine, whatever. But sometimes we think we're carrying a burden of Torah. That's an easy shaila. There are sometimes very complex shailas. Maybe you don't understand the psak, maybe it's difficult for you. Okay, but that's the halacha, and I have to follow what the halacha says. But a person should not think that I am carrying the burden of Torah. What's the Gemara again? Dama Rav Chista, Mem v'samech shebeluchos b'nei shayu omdim. These two letters, the Mem, which we've been studying for a month, along with its partner letter, Samech, were the only two letters in the Luchos which represent the eternity of Torah. Not only, by the way, do the Luchos represent the eternity of Torah. They represent not only the Ten Commandments, Kol HaTorah Kulo. Rav Sa'adja Gaon is quoted by Rashi to Parak Chof Dalid in Parshas Mishpatim, maybe Pasuk Yerbeis. Rav Sa'adja Gaon says that the entire 613 mitzvos are embedded within the Ten Commandments. So these two are the miraculous letters. They are surrounded on all sides. And they represent Mordechai on the one hand and Hadassah hi Esther. They're both closed. Remember, the original form of Mem was only one. What we call a Mem Sofis. But maybe we should really just call it a closed Mem. They were both closed to the outside influences of the world around them. Mordechai and Esther were the two Jews who were closed to the outside influences. Mordechai and Esther were the two who bent their shoulder to carry the burden of Klal Yisrael on their shoulders. They were the two who represented Torah when everybody else in the nation was unfortunately becoming assimilated and trying to throw. Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz writes that all the Jews were embarrassed to show signs of Judaism publicly. Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz writes, Mordechai, why is he called an Ish Yehudi? Because he's from the tribe of Binyamin, which we already said, they come from Rachel. Because he was distinguished and identifiable as a Jew. He's the one, says Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz, who went out with his tzitzis and tefillin in public when everybody else was embarrassed and covering up. Mordechai and Esther were the two, it sounds a little ironic to say that Esther, who's living with the king, was not assimilated. About Batilakach Esther, Beis HaMelech, she didn't go because she wanted to go. She was dragged to the palace of the king. Like the Mem and Samech, they were closed off to the outside world. Like Mem and Samech, they represent the miracle of Torah and the eternity of Torah. Like Mem and Samech, they carried the burden of Torah, not the Torah they carried the burden of Torah for the entire people in that time. So even when we think Esther was carrying a very heavy burden, very heavy, and so was Mordechai. But the truth is the Torah is carrying them, and not vice versa. And that's what we have to remember. It's the Torah that carries us. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, I didn't even mean to quote it with a mem, but, oh yeah, I did. It's in my notes. Mem is the essence of Mordechai. If you look in Kapitel Kuf Yud Tes of Tehillim, Kuf Yud Tes is every letter of the Alphabet. Actually, Adin asked me to teach it for Nach Yomi cycle. It was either the first or the second cycle. How do you teach every letter of the Alphabet times 8 psukim in 15 minutes? Okay, Baruch Hashem. The whole parak's about Torah. The whole parak's about Torah. What is Mem? Ma ahavti sorasecha kolayam hisichasi. Each letter has 8 psukim in Kuf Yud Tes. Mordechai is the Mem. What's the first pasuk in Kuf Yud Tes of letter Mem? It defines Mordechai. Ma ahavti sorasecha kolayam hisichasi. That's exactly who Mordechai was. How much I love Torah, all day it is my conversation. What's the next pasuk? Me oivai tichakameini mitzvosecha ki le'olam hili. From my enemies, your mitzvos make me wise. It is for me forever. These two psukim define the life mission of Mordechai HaTzadik. How much ma ahavti sorasecha kol yom hisichasi? How much I love Torah, all day it is my conversation. Me oivai tichakameini mitzvosecha. Your mitzvos make me smarter than the enemies. That's exactly correct. He didn't bow down. And Haman was enraged. And Haman was angry. But Mordechai was a proud Jew, and his sisters and tefillin, says Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz, his mitzvos made him smarter than the enemy. And ultimately, of course, Torah and Mordechai triumphed, and Knesset Yisrael triumphed. And the enemy had his downfall. Ki the olam hili, because your Torah and your mitzvos are forever. Samech, which is the Esther, he Hadassah, he Esther. What does David HaMelech say in that kapitel, the letter Samech? Sisri umagini ato. Listen to this and think about Esther's life. Sisri or Sitri, Samech Tav Reshod. Sisri umagini ato, you are my protection and my shield. Who's she referring to, of course? Well, David HaMelech, but who's this referring to? Who's our protection? Who's our shield? None of the false ideologies in which we put our hope, our protection, our shield. And Esther understood that the only thing that was going to come to her, to help her, when she had to go to the king was who? Ein Ormovado. Sisri umagini ato. This defines the amuna of Esther Hamalka. Remember we quoted the Rav who quotes the Gemara, Vatilbash Esther Malchus. With what did she go to the king, says the Gemara, Megillah Yudalid, Ruach HaKodesh. She understood her greatest weapon in her personal arsenal was a spiritual weapon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on my side. He is my shield. He will save me. I don't need makeup. I don't need perfume. I don't need long lasting. By the way, my makeup's not long lasting. It's a miracle. It just stays. Shavuos one year, this is a really cute story. This is a true story. Shavuos one of the years that we were Zocha. to be in the Yeshivas Ritz Yarchei Kala program. It was a 3-day yontif. A couple of the years, of the 5 years we were there, it was a 3-day yontif. It's a long time. So at the end of the second day, like the beginning of the third night, I went over to Robertson Shach, Dosh HaTechia, and I said, is it permitted for me to use something to like wash my face, a wipe? It's not a very wet wipe. Don't paskin anything halachic from everything I say ever. No, I'm being serious. I make sure to stress that. To take off my makeup. It's been 2 days. So she says, yes. But why would you want to take off your makeup? It looks perfect. So I said, I don't think it doesn't feel so hygienic. She says, leave it. You wore it for 2 days. It looks perfect. You'll wear it for one more day. And I did. I left it. Sisri Magini Ata. Esther didn't need anything. Hadassah hi Esther. You, Hashem, are my protection. You, Hashem, are my shield. Why? Because she was a letter Samech. And she was the one who was, Hashem was Somich. And the Torah carried her, and the Torah carried Mordechai. And through their roles, they together, dual agents, man and woman, male, female, Mordechai, Esther, they carried Knesset Yisrael. Sishu Magini Atal Idvarcha Yichalti. That's Esther Hamalka. You are my protection. You are my shield. In your word, I hope. Suri Mimeni Mireim. Get away from me, you evildoers. Listen to these words. The etzah mitzvos elokai, I will keep the commandments of my God. Mema hafti sorasecha koliyam hisichasi. How much I love your Torah. That's Mordechai's essence. All day it is my delight, my conversation. Me oivai techach memeini mitzvosecha ki le'olam hili. And hadasa hi Esther. Sisri magini ato, you are my protection and my shield. Lidvarcha yichalti. Esther said, Hashem, for your word I wait. I don't wait for anything else except your Yeshua. And that's what we have to internalize today. We have to embody the midos of these two heroes of Klal Yisrael who wrought salvation and effected redemption, not through any external methods, only through their deep amunah, that we, Klal Yisrael, exist, we float by nis. Al pi teva, we should have all not, we none of us should actually like be living. No, al pi teva. Even if, that's say you didn't come from Holocaust survivors, at some point in our history, we came from somebody who descended from some pogrom. We should all actually not be here. The Mem and the Samech, the two miraculous letters, embody the miracle of the existence of Klal Yisrael. We are a nis. We are nisim, which is not lost on me that it ends with a samach and a mem. Suru mimeni mireim v'etzra mitzvos elokai. Get away from me, you evildoers. That's Esther. I will keep the commandments of my God. And then when the Yeshua is affected, and the Torah carries them, and they carry the klal because they both bent their shoulders to bear a burden, Parak 8, Parakhas Pasuk Tes Zayin in the Megillah. You all know the Pasuk because you say it by Havdalah. Layhudim Haisa Ora V'Simcha V'Sasam Vikar. Chapter 8, verse 16 in the Megillah. What does it mean when there was Yeshua? Layhudim Haisa Ora, there was light. V'Simcha, gladness. V'Sasod, rejoicing. Vikar, and honor. So the Gemara says in Mesachas Megillah, what's the first thing that was restored to us? Ora is Torah. Laihudim haisa ora zu Torah. Like the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Kiner mitzvah v'Torah or. And Rashi on the Gemara says that Haman outlawed these four mitzvahs. Haman outlawed Torah, Yom Tov, Bris Milah. What am I forgetting? Ora simcha v'sasim Tfilin, tfilin, tfilin. Haman outlawed Torah learning, Yom Tov, Bris Milah and Tefillin. Someone asked me a very good question. If anyone here or anyone online knows the answer, please get back to me. I'm quoting from the Gemara Misgillah, Tes Zayin B. So you can look it up. This is Beferish. I'm not going through how the Gemara proves every one of these, but these four mitzvos were re-embraced by Klal Yisrael after Haman's downfall. Ora is Torah, which is what I'm focusing on in our Shir because of the nace of Torah. Through Mordechai and Hadassah, he Esther that carried the people. Simcha is Yom Tov. The Gemara explains how each one corresponds to each. Sason is Milah. and Viyakara's tefillin. So someone reached out to me this week. She heard me go through this Gemara in depth in a different shiur. I don't have an answer. She asked me a very good question. What about Shabbos? I'm saying I don't know the answer. I'm asking you a question. Isn't that interesting? Rashi on this Gemara says that these are the mitzvos that Haman outlawed. And once Esther and Mordechai had a victory, I'm ending by asking Akasha, once Mordechai and Esther had a victory, these four mitzvos were re-embraced and re-established. Ora, Torah, Simcha, Yom Tov, Sosim, Bris Mila, Vikar, Tfilin. She says, what about Shabbos? Haman let them keep Shabbos? You would think it would be the first thing that would go, because it's such a symbol of what it means to be a Yid. I don't have an answer. If anybody knows the answer, I'm happy to hear from you. So we didn't exactly leave the Mem yet, but we added on that the two miraculous letters that are carried by Nes are the Mem and the Samech, which represent the whole journey of Mordechai, he Esther, which will represent the miraculous existence of Klal Yisrael through the ages. And the only reason we continue to exist is because we stick by the miracle of Torah. And we carry the Torah. And yes, sometimes it means you have to bend. Not having a glass of wine in Purim is not such a tzara. But there are sometimes very real Oleinu, the Oleichem Shailas we have to deal with. But when you bend your shoulder to carry Torah, ultimately, Vayhi Lamas Oivei, Torah will carry you. But Ezra Hashem, it should carry us too. Yemos HaMashiach, we will continue next week. Thank you so much, everyone.